The marketplace lead is Comcast and Time Warner Cable pulling out of their big merger this morning. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A $45 billion internet and TV merger is off. Comcast and Time Warner had always structured the deal so they could extricate themselves if government regulators decide to try to block it. That apparently is the regulators' inclination. Comcast CEO Brian Roberts spoke today on one of his own cable TV properties, CNBC.
Obviously, we wanted to bring the products that we've got that we're very proud of to new markets, but it's not going to happen. So we reached that conclusion. We always structured this deal in a way that will allow us to walk away if it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and that's where we're at.
Pressed on why regulators would have opposed the deal, Robert said he didn't want to speculate. 22 minutes into the trading day, let's check the numbers. We have the Dow down 7 points, the S&P 500 is up 0.1%, and the NASDAQ Composite Index is right under its all-time record highs at 5091, shooting for 5099 possibly. On that NASDAQ, let's check in with Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
When the phrase, the NASDAQ has hit a record high, I get post-traumatic stress flashbacks to just before the dot-com collapse of 15 years ago. You think it's different this time?
It is so different this time. You know, the last time the NASDAQ was above 5,000, we disdained things like dividends and earnings. And in fact, when a tech company declared a dividend, the stock would sell off. Contrast that to the strongest stocks in the NASDAQ today, names like Apple, where they not only have a spectacular string of earnings, but my goodness, they're paying dividends and they've had stock splits and all kinds of unheard of behavior.
But not all of them. I mean, here's a famous name, Amazon. They tend to put the revenues in bold and then, you know, spiritually at least, in little tiny type, they mention the profits.
Amazon is doing this the smart way. If you're going to run a company with no earnings, the way to do it is to plow your revenue back into future growth. Those losses they've piled up from time to time tend to be investments in delivery infrastructure, in warehouses. They are building a bigger and better company down the road, and investors are cool with that. What they didn't like was lobster and champagne parties on Friday afternoons at profitless companies. You can still play it with slim earnings, but boy, you better have something to show for it.
A little bit more rigor these days. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
A peer-reviewed study out today brings disheartening news from the world of tropical medicine. There is evidence that GlaxoSmithKline's vaccine for malaria loses effectiveness even with a booster shot. Scientists still say the vaccine is worth it for children in affected areas. It's been 2 years since a terrible collapse of a clothing factory in Bangladesh, killing more than 1,100 workers. Among the findings was that workers at the Rana Plaza area had recognized that things were wrong with that building a day before the collapse, but that factory owners demanded the workers go back in. There have been various moves to improve working conditions in the years since, and one of the key recommendations was to make it easier to set up unions in Bangladesh. Thought is, if they had been given a stronger voice, the workers might have been able to refuse to go back into that building. From our partners at the BBC, Marie Keyworth filed this report for us.
Bangladesh has made changes to the law, but there's evidence that some factory owners are stopping garment workers from organising. Harassment and assault and intimidation are systematic, according to Human Rights Watch. People associated with leading unions are apparently subject to brutal beatings. Now, this worker spoke to the BBC. He didn't want to be identified, but he said he got repeated threats because he's a union official.
I was told, you might get abducted or go missing. Someone could shoot at you. I have 2 young daughters. If something happens to me, what will happen to my family?
From the government side, Mohamed Mujibul Haq is Minister of Labour and Employment. He admits there are issues, but he also says that unions are exaggerating the problem.
Cases of union members being harassed do exist, but the number is very small. If we come to know about it, we send our labour inspector there immediately and take action.
Of course, the manufacturers have something to say about this too. And Rita Imyar Khan is from the Bangladesh Manufacturers and Exporters Association. She says she's personally for garment workers being able to unionise. But there are concerns, she says, among other factory owners that they'll be held to ransom.
Competition has become so stiff post-Rana Plaza. We've just increased our wages by 77%. Our costs have increased. So what if the next day the union leader came and said, now you have to increase more? Because we can't. It's not possible. Because the buyers haven't paid us more. In fact, they're paying us less than what they did 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
So the tension between being competitive and keeping costs down at the factories and also giving workers increased rights is clear. As it stands in Bangladesh, fewer than 10% of the 4,500 garment factories have unions. So there is still a long way to go.
That report for us from the BBC's Marie Keyworth. Finally, in movies, they call it an Easter egg, a little inside joke planted in a film for those in the know. Well, this morning, the internet noticed that if you use Google Maps to check a spot in Pakistan, you find a digital image of what looks like a huge park in the shape of a Google Android robot showing disrespect for an Apple logo, in the way a dog would show disrespect for a fire hydrant. Get it? Google mocking Apple. It's at map coordinates 33-30-52 north, 73-33-33 east, or go to Rawalpindi and look a bit south on the map, not in real life. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.